We're talking about prayer, and last week we talked about as you pray, the tribute of praise, remembering that as we pray, and pray, the word prayer means to ask. To pray is to ask. A prayer is a petition. But as you pray, remember to praise the Lord. And praise is greater than thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is thank you for what you've done. Praise is for who you are. Adoration is for who He is. And so let's remember that. But tonight, as you pray, confession. Confession. We've been noticing in Daniel 9 that as he is praying, and especially about the 70 years being over and God releasing Israel back to their homeland, that he says that he was confessing. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, before Jehovah my God, for the holy mountain of my God, for Mount Zion, where Jerusalem is built and the temple was. So, praying and confessing my sin, but my sin and the sin of my people Israel. We sometimes get to the place where we talk about other people's sins in our prayers. Daniel teaches us to include ourselves in it. We are part of the culture that has sinned. So we pray. And in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God knew, even after we got saved, we'd still sin. He just knew that. It's not a thing to suddenly blossom into sinless perfection. It doesn't happen like that. So if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is talking about Christians confessing their sins. We know this because He says His response to confessing our sins is faithful and just. He's only just to forgive us our sins when Christ has already paid for them. See? So this isn't sinners getting saved, though they do have to confess their sins. That they are a sinner. This is us. This is Christians confessing our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So confession says what God says about your sin. The word confession is homologeo, homo the same and logeo to say. So you're not confessing a sin if you say, oh God, I slipped up again. It's not my fault, really, you see, in that regard. It is your fault. A sin is your fault. Sin is your choice. Sin is you choosing a path that leads you in a wayward way. So confession means that you turn and look at your sin from God's point of view and you call it what God calls it. God calls it sin. God calls it stealing. God calls it lying. God calls it fornication and adultery. He calls it for what it is. So, confession means we're telling the truth, and that, of course, ultimate truth from God's point of view. So, three things. While you are praying, confess often. Confession of sin is the first act of an awakened sinner. It is the first mark of God's grace in the heart. Yet, since sin continues to plague us and sometimes defeat us, confession is the daily activity of the believer. As we walk in the light, we are more conscious of our sin. I've told you the story when I was seventh grade, we moved down to Louisville, Kentucky for about half a year until my dad found out that the job that they had promised him there wasn't what they had promised. We moved back to Indianapolis. In the basement of this house, there was an old coal bin. There was a coal chute on the side of the house where they dumped the coal. So the old days, they shoveled the coal and put it in the coal furnace. And I had never seen coal up close. So I was down there looking at it, and I it was quite interesting. Now that I know that it was compressed during the time of the flood, that this coal was probably, you know, somebody's couch once or something. We don't know. But I'd pick it up and look at it, and there are parts that will sparkle in the light. It's pretty dim down there. They didn't light up the coal bin. What was the use? And so then I'd look, and I'd see down there that I had crumbles on my hand, and I'd clean my hands. Then I would go upstairs. Upstairs, the first room I got to at the top of the stairs was the kitchen, and the kitchen was pretty brightly lit. I'd say, oh, I still have dirt now that I see in the light. And so I would go to the bathroom, and I would rinse my hands like this, and then I'd look, and then I noticed that in the fingerprints, the little valleys of my fingerprints, there were little dark traces. It had gone down into that. So I had to scrub the thing. The point is, we are dirtier than we know when we first glance at this, you see. And as the light increases, as we pay attention to this, we then will confess more often. As we walk in the light, we're more conscious of our sin. We hold them up before the face of the holy God and sound like the psalmist. Psalm 51:4, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. So I'm telling you, you were right when you judge me for my sin. You're right, and I deserve it. Confession should be as specific as you can be. If we confess our sins, this is in the present tense, a continuing sense. If we keep on confessing, David said he sinned in God's sight. All of our sin is before God's sight. God sees everything. God's face is on us at every moment. There is no secret sin with God. Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. So let's do the real thing, you know. Really confess, really admit, really call it what God calls it. And as we get closer to him, the more we're going to be troubled by what we might call lesser sins. But a lesser sin is turning away from God, not obeying his word. So confess often. Secondly, confess immediately. Train yourself not to leave sin puddled in your heart. Don't let it dry up in there. Confess your sin at the very moment the Spirit convicts you of it, anytime during the day. This is more important than anything else you're doing. Confess immediately, and later, when you have more time, trace your path to sin. Lord, how did I get there? What turned me off the path? What led me astray? I need to stop that. Try to see where and when you first begin to stray from the path of righteousness. Set your sights not on preventing the sin, which is at the end of the journey, but preventing your first straying. You're walking along the path of God. What was it that made you take the first step off the center of the path? Was it curiosity? Was it animosity, you know, whatever. Now let's focus on that so that we don't stray. And then finally, number three, confess in reverence. Recognizing that you stand before the presence of the holy God helps your confession. I've usually always had a good imagination, and I've usually been able to use that as I go to God. I don't know. God doesn't have a body like man, so I don't know what he looks like, but I have to think of him as something. I remember a story about parents who decided they weren't going to talk about God as a person, God as a father, so they just always called him the Holy Divinity. to their child growing up. And later they said, so he never had an image of God. He said, oh, yes, I did. They said, what did you have when we called him the Holy Trinity? He says, well, you know, that divinity that we serve at Christmas time, that white candy stuff, that's what I saw. So I don't know that we're capable of not imagining him as something. So I imagine him as a great and powerful and austere God on the throne. Kneel, or at least bow before him. Lower your eyes as he gazes upon you, looks into your heart, sees your past as if it were happening now. Realize he sees you really are. He sees you as, there you go. He sees you as you really are, not how you really are. And not as you present yourself to others and even to yourself. This is the thing. We don't go to everybody else and present ourselves as we really are. We have an image. There you go, thanks. We have an image that we present to other people. It's not right either? He sees you as are you, as you are, as you are really, as you really are. And not as you present yourself. So we have a way of presenting ourselves to other people. It doesn't work with God. You have to undo this in your thinking. You have to get to the place. Realize he sees you as you really are and not as... Hey, okay. Finally corrected. And it's like this. You have to work at it and get it right. The point is that... we usually go to people and say, yeah, I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for asking, you know. And we might not be all right. But this is foolishness to do it with God. He knows better than you know how you are. So you have to undo that. Try to look at your actions with no trace of pride, which is deceptive. Pride hides what really happened. Pride makes you take credit. Be the child who stands before his parent and knows he saw you do it from the kitchen window. You see? So, he knows. And now you know he knows. So, confess.